I will call our meeting to order. Please join me with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Forcroy.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohilski. President Sesenia.
Oh, he just walked in. Hurry up, Chuck.
Is it? Oh, here. Chuck. Okay, thank you.
With apologies.
We handed it off to the past president to get things rolling.
Okay, and the future president's
not here. Not here either. So, so we are on to agenda
item two.
Thank you for keeping it rolling. It's your public hearing.
Turn on your mic.
Is that okay?
Let's see. There we go. Thank you. Public hearing for resolution 2023-32 to adopt the mitigated negative declaration for the water resiliency intertie pipeline project. This is the project to run an intertie along South Bay Boulevard to the state water project along Highway 1.
Correct. Just so you know, excuse me, we do have Brandy Cummings on Zoom tonight. She was the lead person on developing the initial study and mitigated negative declaration. So she'll be available for any questions. Sorry. Just to kind of roll back through some background, because we haven't had this in front of the board for quite a while. There had been a couple of discussions at the Utility Advisory Committee about the intertie over the last year or so. But way back in September 2021, the board directed me to investigate alternative water resiliency supply project options. But we knew the main focus would be this intertie with the Chorro Valley State Water Project. So we went through and did some analysis on pipeline alignments. We had Wallace Group do a preliminary engineering study. And then also came up with some ballpark program costs based on the 2022 cost of construction. Then back in September 2022, the board approved moving forward with the environmental work. We did hire SWCA Environmental Consultants, which Brandy is with, and they were selected to do the environmental constraints analysis. That's kind of the prelim to developing the mitigated negative declaration. The analysis was completed in July 2023, which did not identify any constraints that would make the project infeasible. So they were directed to move forward with the development of the initial study and the MND. So what is the initial study and mitigated negative declaration? I'm going to start saying MND, if you don't mind. I always seem to trip over those three in a row. It provides a detailed description and the required discretionary approvals and the evaluation of potential environmental impacts. And I stressed environmental because as we talk about public comment, there was a lot of other types of comments associated that weren't related to the environmental impacts. So SWCA developed the environmental checklist, and these were the eight items that they felt the project needed to address in the document, those being aesthetics, air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, hydrology and water quality, land use and planning, transportation, tribal cultural resources, and utilities and service systems. Now, not to go into detail on each of them, because it is quite extensive, especially the biological resources, but details for the findings, description and findings for each of the checklist items are found in section two of the document. And as you'll see, if you've read through it at all, most of the identified impacts are associated with the construction, the actual construction of the project, and very few are associated with the long-term operation once constructed. We did release the mitigated neg deck for public comment on September 27th, and there's a mandatory 30-day period to receive public comments. which ended on October 27th. Comments and responses have been incorporated into the document, into the final document. Based on public comments, the project description has been modified. That's why in your packet, I provided a clean copy and the marked up so you, the public and the board could see what had changed. But all the changes that we made based on public comments really didn't impact the draft mitigated negative declaration or consider significant or change the measures identified. So it was determined that we didn't need to recirculate the document for additional time period. And I'll read this because the overarching environmental determination is that although the project could have a significant effect on the environment, there will not be a significant effect in this case because the revisions and mitigation measures in the project have been made by or agreed to by the district, meaning that we will have, as the project proceeds, we have agreed to all the mitigation measures found in the document. So if the next steps, if the MND is certified by the board tonight, I will be requesting further direction from the board to keep the project moving, basically. And that could include looking at funding alternatives, design services, permitting will be a big factor, and securing water for the project from the county. So with that, that's my presentation, and I'm available to answer any questions. And as I said, Brandy from SWCA is also available.
I assume non-construction impacts would be just the infrastructure associated with pumps and whatever.
Right, little and bit you know, of if we need a pump house,
right.
You know, yeah. There could be a set aesthetic impact based
but,
on.
But pretty minor, yeah, exactly. Another utility box along the edge of the road. Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay, again, this is the evaluation of the construction of a project. There's many steps ahead. We'll be talking about supply, the water to actually put in the pipe, all these things coming ahead, the hopefully grant opportunities to fund it. That's going to be a heavy lift and definitely going to be a part of our strategy, I'm sure, going forward.
Oh, absolutely. And also putting together the partnerships.
Yes.
Yeah, there's still a lot of steps, and every step of the way, the board will be involved in those decisions.
And I want to mention again something that you brought up to me in a conversation the other day about this. We're not just facing saltwater intrusion. We've got PFAS. We've got contaminants because we're a confined basin. And so it may be just a reality that a link to the outside is just something that we're going to have to accept.
And that's why we call it a resiliency project.
Right. Okay. So with that, we'll go to public comment for agenda item 2.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
So the partnerships, is that with Golden State and that's
S&T, okay. Correct?
Yeah, we
it's not all on us.
No. That's a basin management, opportunity.
Yeah, I'm just making sure I understand.
Yep. Okay, we have no comments here in the boardroom. So with that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move the board adopt resolution 2022-32, adopting a mitigated negative declaration for the water supply resiliency intertie pipeline project.
I'll second that.
We have a second. Okay. We just need a voice vote, I think, on this.
Nope. I need to do a roll call.
We need a roll call. Oh, okay.
Director resolution. Womack. Oh.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Vice President Ohulski?
Yes.
President Sesenia?
Yes. Okay, good. We got that moving forward. Okay, agenda item 3, general action items. San Luis Obispo County's proposed Title 19 Los Osos Water Offset Program review. This took up a substantial amount of time at the Basin Management Committee yesterday. For those of you who didn't have anything to do during the holidays, here's another nice report that you might want to review. Anyway, we're lucky we have Mr. Munns to do that for us. Thank you.
And also we had a robust conversation at utilities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, so, and that was, yeah, I appreciate the fact that you let us drop this on you at the last minute, the the comments from last night's committee meeting. We didn't want to have a committee meeting later in the month. And it's just the way it worked out.
Well, timing was good because it gave us an opportunity to have the BMC in front of it. And so
and UAC weigh in. So, right. Yeah, I appreciate it.
So with that, again, a little bit of background for the public watching and the board. Back in August, we did discuss the offset program, but that was the study itself. And it was a lot of data. And if you recall, I was stressing that this was the information gathered by a consultant that then the county was going to use to modify the Title 19 in the Los Osos offset program, water offset program. The primary objective was to identify the remaining opportunities for retrofits in the community, evaluate and quantify the water savings potential, and look at any improvements that could be made. The offset study made several recommendations. Those include update the required water offset for new residences. This is really relooking at the numbers that were in the existing or the current program, which are very old, and updating those. Looking at plumbing fixture daily use rates, there's a lot of new studies that have come out that Madouse, the consultant, used to update those numbers. There was talk about allowing additional indoor toilet showerhead retrofits within the prohibition zone, which currently is excluded from the offset program. They wanted to include outdoor water conservation measures sufficient verification, and then monitoring water use trends and develop a water savings verification program. And this one was really the key for me is this bullet. And it was in the study. So then what did end up in the amendments? And I took this off of a slide that the county used in their presentation yesterday. It kind of consolidates it. I had it kind of strung along in about three or four slides. But they did check all the boxes from those bullet points I just provided, except for a couple. But they did update the mobile home, multifamily dwelling water savings requirements. They did include what they called by water source were parcels that are served by their own source. So you'll see tables that look at what the potential is for a property with a well in there. For program implementation, they did throw in random inspections, like post-installation inspections, which is an improvement. They want to update the water savings requirements every 5 years. Instead, I think most of the savings numbers that are in the current ordinance are from 2008 or at least somewhere back there. So it's been quite a while. So they'll do it every 5 years. They do want to conduct a pilot program to test how much outdoor conservation could be achieved. I'm still not a big fan, but at least it's a pilot program. And then they just moved a lot of the tables and requirements that were in the ordinance into the guidelines and the forms. So every time if they want to make a change, they don't have to go back through an ordinance change. And then they added a couple of new calculations. One was for hot water recirculation systems, not a big deal in terms of water savings, but they did improve that. And then they updated the closed washing machine assumptions, which seemed to be fairly reasonable and more up to date. Looking at the fixture changes, again, this is a little bit in the weeds. They went from the current 1.28 gallons per flush down to a gallon, showerheads from 1.8 gallons per minute down to 1.5. They kept the closed washer requirement the same, but they added that existing washers that are being replaced could not be rated Energy Star. So this would kind of negate if you have a high efficiency washing machine and it's just old, you could get a new one and replace a high efficiency with a high efficiency. So it's that was an improvement. And then, like I said, they had some changes for hot water recirculation systems, and it's based on plumbing design. So to look at comments, and I have to stress this, the study hit my email at almost 5 o'clock on Monday, November 27th, and our agendas had to go out on Friday. So the time to review was very slim given other work priorities that I had that week. So I did my best to go through and get some preliminary comments that I put in the agenda pack. And let me go through these real quick. And there's only three of them. And again, this goes back to the verification program, that there has to be some way that we can go back and verify that the retrofits are working. This is, of utmost importance, especially now where we are in our groundwater management program. So we want to make sure there isn't some negative impact on, being caused by new development. And I still want to say that we're opposed to including outdoor measures, but give the flexibility, but until the county can explicitly demonstrate that there's a reliable savings from outdoor. Of course, there is a lot of savings potential out there, but it's also one of the least reliable because you can change, anyone can change something relatively easy and lose that water savings. And this one was a tough one because we talked purveyor staff, or I should say basin BMC staff, had been in dialogue with the county for over a year about how this would unfold. And this was one of the ideas that, okay, if offsets, we're going to go base or through the prohibition zone, and that each purveyor would prefer to have those retrofits in their service area. So this was especially important to S&T because they're small and given their water supply situation. So it was kind of interesting that the county went ahead and said, okay, we're going to open it up to the prohibition zone, but that doesn't even mean that permits can be considered within the prohibition zone, meaning that there's still a moratorium because of special condition 6 in the wastewater project that's being enforced by the Coastal Commission. So I wanted to leave this, and I didn't understand that for sure until at the BMC meeting, which was after the agenda came out. But if the purveyors insist on this, it would pretty much then limit that development has to happen outside the prohibition zone, still it'd be in Golden State's service area. And so retrofits would have to come from Golden State's service area. And this is kind of is a fairness thing. I don't agree that development can continue to happen without it being offered community-wide, because there's been people on that wait list for 30 plus years. So anyway, this is just something a little on the back end, because the initial conversation was the growth management ordinance, the community plan update, and Title 19 were going to kind of all roll out together. And now for some reason, which wasn't communicated to the purveyors, they've broken it apart. So it's a little disappointing. After over a year of discussion, things that we had talked about never showed up in this. So that's those three. Now, I did have extra time after the agenda came out to go through and look at some of the things more, kind of more into the formulas, some of the information. So on this, 1 through 5, 6 are ones that I came up with that really are, they're more like tweaks that they need to make or edits they need to make because there's some errors, basically. But the one at the very top, this is what, the UAC and myself, that we really need to request a time extension. Because of the timing they've given us from the 27th to December 31st for comments, Christmas is in the middle of that. And then, of course, New Year's Eve is December 31st. So the timing is not right. The other purveyors I spoke with or emailed with, S&T and Golden State today, and they're in concurrence with this too, that we need to request a time extension. because we need time to talk with county staff about why things changed without any conversation with the purveyors.
Because that's the way business is done.
Right. I didn't want to say that. That's fine for you. So anyway, I don't think we need to go through 1 through 6 unless someone has a question. But again, they're more kind of nuts and bolts types things, except for number 3. That was one that we asked, Chuck asked at the BMC, and that's where we found out, no, PZ is still off limits, and it's only outside. So to kind of just wrap it up, you know, if the board's had a chance to review and have any other comments or want to comment on the comments, I'll answer any questions. But I did want the board to consider a joint letter with the other purveyors, and that came up today. This morning after UAC, I sent out this list. S&T fired right back that they have a couple more that they'd like to add, and they're more like in the forms, the formulas. And Golden State, yeah, said we would have more, you know, leverage if we all go together. So I have two motions that you can consider. One's we just do it on our own. The other one is for me to draft the letter, incorporate anything that Golden State and S&T might have, and then send along. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Yeah, I had a question about the parcel size. It looks like you guys talked about that, but do we know why that is?
Parcel size and what? In what?
Like why a bigger parcel needs to offset less water?
Oh, that. Well, Chuck asked that question and they didn't answer it. So that's why we need to keep it on the list. I don't know if you know Claire Momberger. She's the planner that was doing the presentation. I don't think she understood the formula to be able to answer it. But it is, I put it into a spreadsheet, and sure enough, the larger the parcel goes, the less you have the property owner have to offset.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't know yet.
Don't know yet.
Okay. Thanks for doing all that legwork. I like the idea of a joint letter.
Could we write both?
What's that?
Could we do both?
We could, but I think it'll have more impact as the purveyors. When we band together, it definitely gets more attention, and especially with Coastal.
Well, I definitely want a joint letter. I guess.
I mean,
does ours? I don't want to bog down. Okay, go ahead.
No, concern is Sunset Terrace. My concern is Sunset Terrace. I don't think that they have equal goals with us.
Well, the comment that I received was really, it was focused on what was in the amendment. It had nothing to do with their goals. It was mainly that it is a math error in one of the forums.
Well, that's why I would rather just as have us write our own letter rather than be bogged down by Sunset Terrace. I have no problem with, you know, Golden State, but Sunset Terrace, it's a whole different entity. They're not purveying to a, you know.
Well, I'll leave that up to the board, but I would disagree with you.
Okay. Yeah, it was an interesting week. Thank you for all that attention to that. And the extra 6 questions that we got to ask were very enlightening, the lack of answers. Anything else from the board tonight in terms of questions? Okay, with that, we'll go to a public comment for agenda item 3.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
We have in the boardroom a comment.
I'm not going to repeat what you've already heard, but I just, for the board members that weren't there, the meeting was pathetic. The mistakes that were pointed out, county never responded after it was all over. Typical for Los Osos, put a report out on November 27th and ask for comments by December 31st. This isn't the first time this has happened to Los Osos with an ordinance or a plan or something that they want to get by us during the holidays. Ron's list, I think, is excellent. The extension absolutely should be done. But I have one question, the comment which everybody agreed to that I made about the error on the one form. Are we just assuming the county, even though they didn't respond, said basically themselves that's wrong and they're going to correct it? Or is it something we need to add?
I didn't hear them say that.
They didn't say anything. They didn't respond to anything we said. Just so you know, it was circle the wagons day at that meeting. And I absolutely believe that a stronger statement comes when all the purveyors are included in a letter, whether you want to write a separate one yourselves too, but you know, the more bodies in the room on anything gives more emphasis and will have a little stronger weight. Anyway, that's it. Chuck already knows my other comments.
Speaking to the lack of response, I did find it interesting that they stuck with the census estimate for the number of residents per mobile home when we have pretty much direct evidence that they're off by at least one person. 1.5 is opposed to the estimate of 2.5 people, which greatly overestimates the water savings from retrofitting a mobile home. You know, you're assuming that there's 2.5 people living in it, not the real number of 1.5. And just a unwillingness to. Yeah, okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what do you think the S&T would put into the letter that you wouldn't like?
Well, S&T is just a limited amount of people they purvey to their own self, whereas we're purveying to the community, as is Golden State. I mean, S&T is, their stockholders are who they purvey to.
But I mean, if we wrote a letter, is there anything that would be in that letter that you think you wouldn't want to sign? Or is that not?
Well, we wouldn't know until we see a letter, I think. But
I mean, they've been arguing for years about the septic coming down from Cabrillo Estates and polluting their well. I mean,
well, and it seems to be that there's evidence that that might be reality. And I do believe that in terms of who they represent, they represent who they represent. We represent who we represent. And everybody in this town deserves representation. And so whether it's S&T or us, we all deserve a voice. Now, if you're wanting to dance around Golden State and S&T and the Anastasi thing and that legal issue that's out there, this is something else. This is a response to a specific report. Okay. I just want to make sure because I think we need to stand with S&T and we all need to stand together on this. The reason I suggested a separate letter is if we have our own and we can, boom, get it out in a hurry. But I think we would be stronger together.
Well, that's assuming they move the deadline out. If they don't.
If I could chime in, I have to have this letter out before I leave on vacation on the 14th.
Well before the 31st.
Because they're not going to grant an extension.
So can you come to consensus? And
let's give it a try. A
week? Well, I've made it clear that to S&T and Golden State, that's my intent. So if they have anything they want to add, whether they add anything or not, it's them signing on. Because basically they agree with everything we have, the district. And so I don't even know if Golden State has anything to add. They just want to sign a letter together.
How do we see that letter before it's sent out?
I'm going to ask that the board have you sign it, not me, or on behalf of the district.
Okay.
So what happens if Golden State says something that we're unaware of?
Well, my conversation with Golden State today is they haven't even really looked at it. Yeah, that's why they're relying on us. they were looking more at the actual measures, not the broader impacts to the basin. And so Toby Moore said he would take a look at it.
Well, what has Sunset Terrace been looking at?
They've been looking at the forms and the formulas. Like Richard said, there's errors in the table. Yeah. There's errors in the parcel, large parcel. So there's just, those are the things that they're looking at.
And they were also very interested in the lack of verification.
And verification is important to all three.
Yeah.
Now, if Chuck reads it and he doesn't agree with it, that's, if you want to give him that authority, we can stop it right there. I just don't see that happening, I guess is my opinion.
I have confidence in our general manager to move this ahead. I think we're the best equipped in this discussion.
Okay. Yeah, but how are we going to know if there's something in order?
That's what I'm concerned about. Are we ready for some kind of a emergency meeting if we feel like there's a letter that needs to be reviewed?
I think you're overthinking this.
Okay.
But seriously, like I said, when I got a response from Charlie Cody and Chris Gardner, they say, hey, we're so happy that you've done this, the district, that we've taken this on. They thought no one was going to comment. And that they had one or two things. I can't remember. One was a formula. Then when I emailed Toby, he said they had their water conservation person looking at the numbers, like for the toilet, you know, just the tables, all the updated numbers. And Madaus is a very reputable, you know, water conservation, water management company. So I've never questioned those. So I think what you're going to see is what we have here, is what I'm saying, with maybe one or two other items.
They weren't even thinking about the things like questions 3, 4, and 5 that you have out here.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when Toby appreciated those, because they weren't looking at those. Yeah.
So we can only have just one, we can't like all see it to come in.
I can send it out, but we are under a time crunch. I don't mind emailing it out.
Okay. Is that okay? Like, I don't imagine I'll have any issue, but it sounds like maybe
Marshall would like to see it. That everyone gets to see it. And if they want to raise an objection, they can do that. How does that work?
Oops, sorry. I don't know. Well, you can send it out and look at it. If nobody has an objection, I guess that's fine. But if somebody has an objection, you want to discuss the letter, I think you need to discuss it back here and not amongst yourselves.
Right. Yeah. That's what I wanted to get to. So there would be a special meeting if someone felt a need for that kind of thing. Okay. Like I said, I feel confident in this discussion. And it's nice to be in that place.
I don't think we need to have some sort of verification. I think we can have discretion of the GM to put a letter together that's going to accurately convey what we're concerned with. I don't think we need to go to all that trouble.
Well, no, we can express our comments to you individually.
Mm-hmm. Well, your comments... If you're fine with it, that's great. But if you have comments that you want things changed, then I don't think you five guys can be expressing your comments to him individually.
No, I agree with that.
That would be calling up Chuck and saying, "Why don't we need to have a special meeting?"
Well, isn't that this meeting to express our comments about this?
Yeah, it sounds like there's some concern about Golden State and S&T, and that's where I think it's being overthought a bit. That, and I would hope you'd have enough confidence in me if I saw something from one or the other that I know we wouldn't agree with, I would just say, no, we're not going to include that. Now, you may have a problem with how I write the letter.
Not strongly enough.
Yeah,
but what happens if Golden State and S&T come to you and say, no, we wanted to say this instead of that?
Then you'll have your opportunity to review it.
Well, they've already seen what I've written, and they're fine with that, and they want to sign on. And so if they want to add something and I think it's not appropriate, I would probably, I would be the one saying, no, I don't think that's appropriate.
Oh, so do we see what you've written? Have we seen
it? Well, that's everything you're seeing right here.
Okay.
These are the comments recommending, but I would like to add some of the other ones that are, like Richard said about there's this table that is clearly wrong, you know, but point those out. The ones, things that are in the forums that are clearly wrong, those are like formulas and we'll stick those in. But the two things that are basin-wide concern are verification program and then the opening up of the prohibition zone to retrofitting without opening it up to the whole community. And if we keep that one on, it has to be within the purveyor service area, that would push that over to Golden State service area.
All right, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Is that the alternative motion?
Yeah. Now, if you want to send an individual letter, you can add that. I'm fine with that. You know, Ty did say we may individually want to send a strong letter about an extension. Now, I don't know if Golden State and S&T will have any time or energy to do that, but I can check with them. But I wanted to make that part of the opening of our letter, kind of starting off with, you know, this isn't right, basically, you know, but then provide our comments after that.
Actually, that might be a good idea to provide two letters, one saying, please extend because you guys don't know what you're doing, and then send the why. Because you could get off the extend letter tomorrow, basically.
It doesn't matter. They're not looking at it till February.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, but we have it on the record right away.
Well, we'll have the letter in requesting an extension well before the deadline.
Right.
Let's go with it's your pleasure, but I'm favoring a single letter at this point.
Well, I can make a motion. But I move that the board approves submitting a joint letter, comment letter with the other water purveyors to the county regarding the Title 19 Los Osos Water Offset Program updates as discussed tonight and agreed upon by this board.
I'll second that.
We have a second.
As discussed and agreed upon, the board means that Ron's writing it.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
No, correct. I'll add that. Written by General Manager Munson and signed by President Sesenia.
I'll resecond that.
Okay. And here we can do a voice vote. This is direction to staff. Correct. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. With that, we'll go on to agenda item 4, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
We have here in the boardroom. And I think I know what it's going to be.
I'm not going to use all 3 minutes. I just, Richard Margetson, Saturday's needs and wishes at the community center. A little twist this year, at 1 o'clock, from 1 to 6, we're going to have beer and wine. $5 a glass. Is that what you decided? $5 a glass. The taiko drummers come on at 2. So if you want to come and have a glass of wine or a beer while they're performing. And there's a duet after that, guitarist and a ukulele player, and then the choir ensemble at 4:30. So the usual. We have well over 225 silent auction items, hundreds of toys, little over 150 gift certificates at the gift certificate table. I may mention this in case any of you still have, well, I guess adults do it too. The raffle this year has a PlayStation Spider-Man, Nintendo Switch, and a quadcopter with camera. plus other, there's other small, those are the three big things on the raffle this year. So anyway, hope to see you Saturday. Chuck will be serving the beer and wine and 10 to 6. Silent auction closes at 6 o'clock and I'm heading out the door.
That's at the community center. Oh,
sorry. At the, well,
at the Just make sure everybody knows at the community center behind the Red Barn. It's a good time. Yeah, be there. There's a bake shop, toy store, small appliances. If you want to stock up your kitchen for small appliances and dishware and that kind of thing, all kinds of good stuff. Okay. With that, we're on to the administrative and committee reports. Fire department. Finally, do we have anyone with us?
We do not. Paul, okay. Chief Province is on vacation until next week, but he did provide someone over there providing a report. So there is a written report in the packet tonight.
Okay. Is there any questions? Then I guess, well, we'll wait till we get to the end of all the reports for anything like that. Sheriff's Department. Good evening.
Good evening, President Senna and members of the board, members of staff and public. I'm Stuart MacDonald from the Sheriff's Substation here in Los Osos with a report for November of 23. In November, we responded to four assault and battery reports. One of those was an unfounded report, which means it didn't happen. Two of them were domestic violence related, and one was an assault with a deadly weapon, which I will talk about at the end of my report here. We had 29 disturbances. That was 14 general disturbances, 5 music complaints, 3 family disputes, 2 neighborhood disputes, 2 party calls, 2 parking dog calls, and 1 fight. We had 1 burglary reported. However, it turns out that was an unfounded burglary. Some contractors that were going to be doing work in the residence had come the evening prior to set up some equipment. And so neighbors did not expect them and called them in as burglars. So upon our arrival, we were able to vet that they were properly on the property. There were 2 theft reports. One was a theft of a package that had been delivered to a property gate, and before the homeowner could collect it, it was stolen. So, of course, at this time of year, when people are having a lot of packages delivered, we recommend that you either be home to receive those or make arrangements for a neighbor or a friend to collect them quickly off of your porch. The other theft was a grand theft of jewelry from a business here in town. That particular theft was perpetrated by an organized retail theft organization that specializes in sleight of hand type theft. And unfortunately, they did take some valuable jewelry. The suspects, there were two people. We believe we know the identities of both of them, but they're, like I said, from outside of the area and a organized crime that will not be back in the area for some period of time, but then they will be back through. We had 3 vandalism calls. One was graffiti, one was damage to a motor scooter, and one was juveniles toilet papering a house. We had one phone scam reported to us from a citizen who got a phone call from someone purporting to be a paralegal and conducting an investigation of legal matters. So I like to talk about the scams because they come in all kinds of different forms. So this one was somebody posing as a paralegal and trying to get information based on legal matter research. We also actually put out a second press release yesterday about the continuing scam of there are people that are spoofing the sheriff's department's phone number, calling, purporting to be a deputy sheriff, and that you've got some kind of a traffic warrant or other warrant. And so the scam goes that you need to go and get some Green Dot cards or gift cards and pay your fines. So the sheriff's office would never conduct that business by phone. If you have a warrant, you would basically get a visit from a uniformed patrol deputy that would knock on your door and say, I need to take you before a magistrate. So scams in general, it will be people that are trying to create some sense of urgency. Whatever the story is, there's urgency to it. And they need you to provide money right away, or there's some kind of dire consequence. And anytime that gift cards are suggested, you can be pretty much guaranteed that it's a scam. So please watch out for all of the varying forms of scams that come through. We had 25 suspicious circumstances. There were 14 suspicious subjects, 8 suspicious circumstances, and 3 suspicious vehicles. The deputies that work here in Los Osos in the month of November conducted 71 enforcement stops. That included 2 bicycle stops, 10 pedestrian stops, and 59 vehicle stops. They also engaged in 30 preventative patrol activities, which included 1 foot patrol, 2 patrol checks, 4 extra patrols, and 23 on-site activities. And as I said, when I talked about assaults and batteries, on November 26th, which was the Sunday morning after Thanksgiving, at about 1:10 in the morning, we received a call of a victim who had been shot with a gun. And that happened on the 1900 block of 10th Street. Deputies arrived, were able to we call it a victim rescue. The deputies found the victim, extricated the victim from the area because it wasn't safe or clear for the fire department to come in. So we took the victim to the fire department. He went off to the hospital. He will survive his injuries. And then after a period of time, we did detain the suspects that were involved and arrested the shooter. So these parties were known to each other. Can't really add a lot of context to the behavior because it didn't make a lot of sense. The shooting, there was drinking involved, we were able to detain and arrest the suspect within about an hour and a half of the original call for help. And with that, I am ready for any questions or concerns.
Anything from the board? I guess in light of all the seriousness, it's good to know that we still toilet paper the call it the president's house or the principal's or whoever your least favorite teacher right. is.
Yeah. I haven't seen going the peeing happen for quite some time. It was kind of refreshing.
Still going on. Okay,
Chuck, you're the president.
It's not my house. It's not right behavior, but.
I remember pulling a hamstring back in high school on one of those nights. Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you for that report. Yeah.
Okay, Highway Patrol. Do we have a Highway Patrol report tonight?
I don't. There is no one online.
Okay. Well, they were busy today on Ramona, right in front of Sweet Springs.
They were busy yesterday with wood chipper and Highway 101.
Oh.
I saw it. Lucky I was going the other way.
Flipped it. Wood chipper?
Like a big one. There was a wood chipper tumbled over and fell off of the truck or came unhitched.
Well, that's not big. Serious. Okay. Where are we at? Utilities department report.
Okay. I noticed as soon as you moved, oh, it's that cord. Real quick. Utilities department, just have a couple of quick updates on our capital projects. 16th Street North Tank, which is underway. The interior is almost complete. I think they're going to finish the interior coating tomorrow. Then repairs will move outside. So far, we've been fortunate to have any real complaints from the neighborhood. Lynette was that lives down the street said that on one day it was noisy. So that's not bad out of how many days they've been up there. It has been pushed out. The completion date has been pushed out to the first week of January, but we're making sure they don't impact the Christmas holiday. The Program C water transmission main project is going. We've switched to horizontal directional drilling, an amazing process to watch. They can drill out. It takes maybe a day or two to drill like 400 feet, but they can pull the pipe in a couple hours. It's pretty amazing. So they're proceeding. I'm not sure when that project will be complete. They started at the easy end over on the Pomo side of Mountain View. To get warmed up for going under Los Osos Valley Road here. So keep you posted there. The equipping phase of that project, still kind of on hold. We're working with the county to go through their building permit process, but we know there's going to be delays due to supply chain issues for the electrical components. And then finally, the Skyline groundwater monitoring well got word tonight. They're going to wrap that up tomorrow. We did hit a couple of snags on the second well. But they worked through those and we're going to complete it on time. So there's the utility related. I just have a couple of things on my general manager report. LAFCO has started a municipal service review of the district. Marshall's very familiar with these. It's a rotational thing that they do all the agencies in the county, cities, special districts, et cetera, every few years. It's been about 7 years, I think, since they did Los Osos. But Laura and I have provided a tremendous amount of data to them. And so we'll get that underway. It'll take about 9 months for it to be complete. So I'll keep you updated as any new information arises from that. And then finally, the Cabrillo Stormwater Basin. I was reporting to UAC last night. No news is good news until today. I hadn't been asked for any more questions. I thought we were well underway in the review process. It turns out that their environmental, there's an acronym, but it's their environmental division of FEMA is being held up by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Review. So we're stuck. So no extra work for me, but it's just time now, hopefully, because we submitted all the environmental documents from our snail surveys and et cetera up there. So from our side, we've provided all the information they've needed. And that's all I have for you tonight.
Darn snails.
Yeah. They only found two. They weren't even on our site.
Okay, do we have a Chamber of Commerce report? Do you have anything that you... do we?
I have visual aids. So this is a big weekend for Los Osos. Not only needs and wishes, but for other events. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the corner of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road is our holiday tree lighting. You're welcome to come. We're going to have free refreshments, nibblers. We're going to have some sing-along, and then we'll light the tree. You're welcome to bring some ornaments if you'd like to donate them, and then we'll put them up every year until they fall apart, which we've been doing for a while. So yes, Bob Kreiser and I will be out there at 2 o'clock starting to set it up. You're more than welcome to come out though, and it starts at 5, just about when it starts to get dark. There'll be some, like I said, some food, some drinks, non-alcoholic. And we will do some singing and light the tree. So that leads us up to the following day, which is December 9th. So that's the day of the holiday parade, which runs from South Bay Boulevard to the community center where Needs and Wishes is being held. So the parade starts at 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to sit along the street or stand along the street anywhere from there all the way to the community center. The Kiwanis is also having their annual pancake breakfast across the street from Grocery Outlet. I forget what the name of that, in front of that little, where you can get your SPOG test. I forget the name of it.
Bay Auto.
There you go. I ought to have known that. So we'll have that. We're going to have a lot of cool entries this year. We have a couple of horse entries, including the polo fields. We have some, we're going to have a really cool entry. So you're welcome to come and see that and then go to Needs and Wishes immediately after. So our parade starts at 10 and runs till it's over. And then ends, each one of the floats will end up at the community center for Needs and Wishes. And then after the parade's over, we recommend or suggest that you go over to Needs and Wishes and see what they have for you.
Yes, it'll be a fun full day.
It will, well, full. And then also we have the annual Light Up Los Osos, which is ongoing from now until Christmas. So if you want to light up Los Osos, you can go to our chamber page and you can enter your particular thing if you want to make sure we see it. Otherwise, we'll just be going around the community and seeing what we see. So it's probably to your benefit to actually make an entrant. But so that's going really, really well. And those are our three things: the Christmas tree lighting, the holiday parade, and the Light Up Los Osos. And with that, I will be done.
Thank you for that report. There's lots going on. It's that time of year.
The fun time of year.
It is. Okay, LOCAC did not meet, so we do not have a report there. Parks and Recreation, we have a report.
We did have a meeting. And mostly what we went over was essentially the responses that we got from the school district. Ron and I had a meeting with the assistant superintendent, Ryan Tinkerton, and the head of the facilities, Chris Bonin. And we brought to them some of the concerns that we had gathered in talking with all the different groups in town, like Coast Little League, South Bay Soccer, the tennis, the pickleball, all of those groups. And it was a really good meeting. We had a lot of good discussions. We kind of found some areas that there was maybe some misunderstandings, and they provided an update, and they even sent us kind of some statistics about essentially about how the fee they have been charging has been flat for years and years and years. They give priority to the local organizations. They've never denied a permit for South Bay or for soccer or for baseball. So those things are baked into what's going on. We talked a lot about facilities and like the quality of the facilities, especially it's been soccer season. That's a huge issue. The middle school is where soccer happens, and that field is horrible.
I tried to take some pictures. I should have brought a tape measure, but there's holes and gopher holes and mounds and some pretty severe ankle injuries happen from just running.
Oh, they're young? They'll heal?
Yeah. And the game is really interrupted. I mean, somebody will be dribbling the ball down the field with nobody around, and the next thing they're on the ground. So we talked about that. There is a lot of hope for that. Well, not just hope. I mean, there is a plan for that. There is money, and those facilities are going to be completely redone. It's going to be a few years, it sounds like.
I think they said maybe two, so it's not that far off.
Not far off. I think they said that they've prioritized the facilities in the entire district, and I think the middle school sits at like number three. So they're going to tackle the first two, can't remember which ones, but then get to Los Osos. So there is a plan, and it will become better. In the meantime, they were amenable to have volunteers come, and they said they'd even provide dirt and have some staff on site to help, smooth out the fields, fill in some of the holes, which I'm sure, is something hopefully South Bay Soccer will be interested in probably next end of next summer, probably. So that was the majority of our discussion, I think, that night. We're still, basically the school district is our recreation facilities. There was a little bit of talk about Sunnyside also. I should mention that.
Sunnyside, school district is going to sell it. They're in conversation with the county, but my understanding with the county budget deficits, it's going to be difficult for them to figure out if they can afford to buy it. It's a wonderful opportunity, though, for the community. That's
right.
One of the last open
absolutely
big parcels.
Big piece of property, central location. It's a good, good thing. Okay, well, that's interesting. And then the school district, hopefully, isn't worried about that they'll do the right thing for the community. And thank you for that effort, because they are our resource, and without dialogue you don't really know what the problems are even. So
Ron and I think are going to try to meet. Our plan is to meet with the youth sports presidents and leaders and kind of go through what we got from the school district and help really disseminate that information. Part of what happens with, especially with groups like that, is there's a lot of turnover. So somebody put in a position, a volunteer position, maybe doesn't know. It seems like a lot to fill out a bunch of forms and make the insurance happen and get jerseys and everything to fall in place. So there's some dialogue still to be had there.
Good. Well, thank you.
I just have a comment. The Los Osos field is awful. It's absolutely awful.
Is it? I haven't been over there in quite a while.
So bad.
There's concrete rubble in parts. There's rocks. There's it is
fresh gopher holes all the time.
Sad. Yeah.
Where's Bill Murray? Okay. Utility Advisory Committee meeting. We did meet right after the BMC yesterday, and you heard mostly what we talked about, the Title 19 retrofits, the Skyline monitoring wells. I'm glad that's moving along. We got past a little hiccup that was out there.
Yeah, we almost lost one of them this afternoon, but we managed to salvage it. But it's going to cost a little more money.
We need it. We need that well.
Yeah, Zone E one is done. It's the Zone D one that they're having trouble with.
Okay. And thank you for your efforts in putting the comments together on the Title 19 program. That's important. Finance Advisory Committee.
So we had the presentation of the audit report. I think they come to the board next month.
Yes.
To present. But the great news is they did not identify any deficiencies in internal control. So that's the bottom line. So we were happy to see that. We like how they do the report. It's kind of easy to understand. And I think they do a really good job. Mm-hmm. And it's been 3 years now. It doesn't seem like
Right. I will be coming back. We have the option to extend that contract, so I will be coming back because staff's very happy with them.
It's already been 3 years.
Yeah, I know. So it feels like not that long ago that we changed. Then they recommended approval of the warrants and to receive and file financial reports. So it's a good meeting. And I was a little late and Marshall filled in. Thank you, Marshall. You got the meeting started.
You know, kind of like happened tonight.
Yeah, just exactly like it.
Yeah. Okay, Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Do we have anything there?
We did. We had a meeting. It was more or less updates, just to update the board a little bit. Our standard cover study is coming along very well. We've received quite a bit of data. The incident data is very interesting. I know Chief Province has been out of town. The data releases kind of came back to back, and he's been on vacation for a couple of weeks. So I'm curious on how he interprets it. We should see a draft report here shortly. I'm guessing before January 1st, maybe the beginning of January, but we're on target to have a report to the board in late February. Probably be the first meeting or the meeting in March. So I'm very happy with the progress there. Otherwise, we just covered budget items and some other housekeeping stuff.
And we still have a vacancy on that committee.
Still have a vacancy. Oh,
that's right.
Oops. I didn't mention a name.
Okay. No, I need to find someone.
But I think that was a very good synopsis. I think the primary thing is the study that we're going through right now. And until they get back with the results, it's kind of like a...
Correct. We'll have the committee review that information before it comes to the board.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad that you had a meeting. Sometimes emergency services tend to be quiet. Things are rolling along, but we have some serious issues there that we need to be considering, and glad that's moving ahead.
The service level and the building.
Mm-hmm. Both. Right. Okay, Basin Management Committee report. We've heard a lot about the Title 19 and the updates on wells. I guess the other thing to make note of is that we changed the financial operating structure.
Right. We're shifting. It's a pretty dramatic shift the BMC is going to open a bank account. Right now, there is no bank account. And the way bills, invoices are processed, it could take up to 3 to 4 or 5 months for a vendor to get paid because of the system. So along with that, a budget was adopted. So at the beginning of 2024, each agency is going to be invoiced for their full amount of contribution to support the budget. So that's going to streamline things quite a bit. They did hire our accountant, Adrian, to be their accountant, separate contract. So we'll have a little bit of interlink there, but pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that was a big move. It just for streamlining and kind of makes you feel almost like a grown-up committee at your own bank account. Director's announcements of district and community interest, reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, anything like that. Other than the fun stuff coming up all weekend long. Be there. Response previously asked questions. I think we keep up with those. We don't have anything lingering. Okay. So we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Is there anything anyone wants to pull from the consent agenda before we do that, I guess? Looks pretty straightforward. Okay, we'll go to public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Okay, and we're quiet here in the boardroom too.
Yeah, right.
So I will entertain that motion.
Okay, I will make a motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
We have a resolution in there. Do we need a voice vote then?
Voice or roll call.
Roll call. Excuse me, roll call.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay. Future agenda items that anyone wants to add onto Ron's plate. We seem to do that all the way through the meeting. It seems like we don't wait for this moment, but if there's anything.
I just wanted to make a comment. We got that letter from that outside person about the energy. And I just wanted to clarify, at least in my opinion, clarify this with Ty and you, but that's outside our purview, what she's talking about. So she really needs to deal with the county.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You know, it's something for us as a district to track, but it's definitely not within our
okay. authority. I just wanted to get that on the record for that. Okay.
Unless this LAFCO review gives us a shocker, yeah. I guess. Never know.
It's not within our scope of whatever.
Yeah, right. Okay. Any closing board comments?
I could do the Christmas events again, but I think I beat that one to death, so I won't. Tomorrow, Saturday, both days.
Yeah. Everyone, be safe, be well, and enjoy this time of year. That's for sure. And we are adjourned. Oh, wait. Yeah, we're adjourned. Wait, when do we do this? January?
You got to do it.
Well, we're adjourned. We did that. But I finally